You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
We're talking about Stella's Last Weekend, and it's not quite the movie that you think it's going to be based on the title, but I don't know why, it's just one of those things that just worked out, the stars aligned. I finally get a chance to work with someone who I've been following for a while through various podcasts, Les Wyler. Man, how you doing?
I'm doing great, and yeah, likewise, this is, I had the same moment of like, I'm finally going to get to actually talk with Justin about a thing.
Hey, I'm glad that it's just working out that way. But yeah, this is going to be interesting because I like to sort out the reviews to meet certain expectations and tastes for certain reviews I work with. Like, oh, hey, here's a few options you can choose from, or I try to pick out the best. So when you picked this movie, I didn't know what to expect because I'm just like, oh, is Les a romantic comedy guy?
Not necessarily, though I do, I mean... There's something in every genre of movies, like well done's well done, and so like I try to not rule out any genres, but yeah, I watch a fair number of rom-coms. I don't know, we could discuss whether or not this really qualifies as a rom-com.
Yeah, it's kind of just a rom almost, like
a lot of com happening. But no, when I picked this, I kind of didn't know what to expect either. I just came off Fantastic Fest and just saw this glut of movies. And then I was looking through the screener list and I read the synopsis of all of them really quick and then just kind of picked a few. And so when we got the link for this one, I immediately was like, wait, did this have a supernatural element? Like, what am I sitting down for here? And which is kind of fun. And, you know, sometimes you're like, I can't remember. Is there a ghost? And no, there is not.
Yeah, this movie could have used a few ghosts in it. But anyways, yes, this movie, this is an interesting thing because this is a directing, writing, and starring feature for Polly Draper. And most people my age would not know who that is. But she was very notable because she was a major player on 30-something way back in the day. So, which I'm sure, are you a fan of that show?
I was not. I never watched 30-something. So she didn't, her name was familiar, but she didn't jump out at me as an iconic character that I grew up with or anything.
Yeah.
I didn't watch 30-something when I was a kid, when that would have been on.
That was on way before I was born, sadly. So I'm so young. But yeah, it was interesting. I looked it up because I'm like, oh, I just discovered this show. And that's really interesting.
And I didn't realize that as watching it. It wasn't until the end of the movie that it clicked that like this was written and directed by the actress who plays the mom when... seen two brothers in the leads, I just kind of assumed that this was like a Wolf Brothers production, like a Duplass Brothers thing or something. And it's really Draper's production.
And I don't know if I've seen this before. Have Nat and Alex Wolf ever actually starred together in a film? Because, so for people who don't know, the lead character in this movie is played by actual brothers Alex and Nat Wolf. But I think this is the first time actually playing in the same movie, much less brothers in a movie together, right?
I think so. And neither of them are particularly actors that I had followed before. Like I'm aware of them, but I haven't seen Fault in Our Stars. So there's a lot of their newly career making turns that I've not seen. This is really kind of my first experience with them.
Yeah, no, and I've been following them a little bit because Nat's been on the scene a little longer and he hasn't really had the best luck with movies, but Alex just came off a really great year because he did Jumanji 2 last year. And mm-hmm. He was a bit part in that. But then this year he really blew me away with Hereditary when he played the main son of that one. So this is definitely not that angle. So I should probably actually explain the plot of this film.
Yes.
So this movie is about a family that's coming together for the most heartbreaking but joyous event where their family dog, Stella, is getting a little long in the tooth. And they decide, well, we need to put her down. But we don't want to just put her down. We need to have a party to commemorate her life because she's been such an important fixture, which I have never seen anyone throw a party for a dog. But okay, sure. Whatever movie.
I've never seen anybody do it, but it wasn't the most outlandish thing, you know?
Oh, but sure, anyway. Sure. But the interesting thing is that these two brothers, which, you know, played by real brothers, they get caught up in a love triangle because Oliver, the brother played by Alex, brings back his girlfriend. And it just so happens that Jack, played by Nat, used to have a thing for her. And they were a little intimate before a breakup that happened. And it's just one long series of awkward moments dealing with, you know, love triangle stuff. Like, does she love me or does she love you? But maybe she secretly still loves you and loves me. and it just goes back and forth all the way around. And, you know, it feels just like a rom-com, you know, it's, you know, and when I saw that she was the actress from 30 something, I'm not surprised because this movie feels so much like an episode of 30 something. Like, it's just got that same kind of melodrama, melancholy vibe, all that, the source music playing with the pop song, just the, you know, kind of stuff. It's just, it's so manufactured to be romantic, though it sometimes worked. Didn't always work, but it sometimes worked.
It kind of drives through this quaint charm of, I mean, granted, the funeral is for their dog, but it could be any awkward holiday or any funeral or homecoming. The movie it most reminds me of, honestly, though I don't think it quite achieves what the comparison does. Home for the Holidays, the Jodie Foster Thanksgiving movie.
Oh yeah,
and I love that movie, but there's a similar. I wouldn't call it, you know, knee slap funny, though there are some funny moments. But mostly for this sense that there's a family bond here where they are horrible to each other, but really love each other. And you get both those things. But it also isolates them from anyone else. So that Ron, the mom's boyfriend through this whole thing, who is played really, really well, by Nick Sandow.
Yeah, Nick Sandow. Yeah,
who from Orange is the New Black.
Oh, that's where I recognized him. Okay.
Yes, and he does basically a like crank to 11 version of his Orange is the New Black schlub. And wow, that actor does that really well. But you see him not get the jokes literally, like not understand why this family is getting the jokes, but the family jokes are so odd and bonded. And I really felt like by having the Wolf brothers be real brothers, that came across for me. Their casualness together was immediate. Also, I don't know whose dog that was, but the first scene where they have to hang out with Stella, they really hang out with that dog. Like there was a like, nope, this might be y'all's dog, which is great because sometimes, you know, these are dog actors and people actors, and it doesn't always look natural. But yeah, it reminded me of how Home for the Holidays more than anything, I would say.
Yeah, no, and I mean, you don't have to get the dog to act too much because I'm sure that actually is a very old dog. So it's like, okay, the dog gets to sit in the bed, we interact with it a little bit, but do our goofy little shenanigans, which it was fine. It was cute. This this movie is definitely, well, you know what? I would say this movie is made for dog owners, but I think you would get really, really sad watching what happened.
That's the thing. I have a 13-year-old dog. Like, I sat there with my two shepherds, and one of them's 13, and and yeah, like there were three times in this, like not to swear on the podcast, but I swore at home, and there were three times in this movie where I was like, "F you, movie, man."
You can swear on here. I mean, I know Chris swears all the time.
I really did. I just, you know, out loud with my dog sitting there, stupid fat tears running down my face. Fuck you, movie, showing me dogs on their last days.
Yeah,
and it's not the dog's death. I'm not talking about the dog's death. I'm talking about, we'll get to the scene later, but the wonderful things that they do in the couple of days of hanging out with this dog before it dies. It's the weirdest holiday movie. Like, if you think Thanksgiving movies are a weird holiday movie, Dog Death Funeral makes for an odd setup.
Yeah,
that Draper continually through the plot pairs really closely to what is happening with the beats in the love triangle.
Yeah, which, I mean, the love triangle kind of goes in very predictable paths, which, you know, you expect one thing to happen and it kind of follows through in sequence for this part. But I felt at least that the chemistry being sold between the actors was pretty good. And it's funny because I don't particularly think Nat Wolff is a very great actor, because I've seen him in stuff like Room 104, Paper Towns, even Fault in Our Stars. I'm just like, this guy's okay. You know, he tries. But I feel like he, you know, partly because he's with his brother and partly because I guess they just found a good groove between the three of them, I think he works on the whole. And you generally like these people, even though early on in the movie, I was just getting to the point, I'm like, man, Oliver is a little dickhead.
Dude, somebody punch Oliver in the face.
I like, know, right?
I really do. I mean, I don't. So did you have siblings?
Oh, yeah. I got a younger brother and younger sister.
Okay. So. See, I was an only child. So I had to, watching this, I'm remembering one of my best friends who had two older brothers, and they were all staggered like 3 years apart. And his oldest brother lived under, like, draconian house rules. And then the middle brother had, like, the normal curfew that all of us had. And then Nick got away with murder. Like, Nick could do anything. And his older brother would complain about it all the time. Like, what the, how did you talk to mom like that and walk out of the house and on a school? What the, like, it, and so watching this was just hysterical of watching their interplay of like, oh yeah, the little brother won one scholarship and just runs mom now. The best moment that they had between, or that the older brother, Nat Wolf had for me was, they're walking the dog in the, red wagon basically. Mm-hmm. And of course Alex, being just a little shit of a brother, is riding in the friggin' wagon. And he says something offhand about like, yeah, mom's gonna let me go on that school trip to the Galapagos Islands. And like, for just a second, like, you know the whole story in a millisecond of Nat Wolf's face when he goes, wasn't that really expensive? Yeah, okay. And just his dismissal of it, like, all right, like, you know, he wanted real bad to go on that. Like, it was a really nice moment of like, man, I learned more about your character in that moment and your relationship to that kid than in the previous 5 minutes of y'all making dick jokes.
Yeah, no, I think that's where the more they get focused in those, you know, those backstories and those connections with the characters and how different people talk to each other differently, like how Alex talked to his mom versus how mm-hmm. he talks to the mom, how they relate to the boyfriend, which. That's a relationship I didn't expect where that was going, where I'm just like, oh, it's just that usual guy who's kind of the dickhead yeah. boyfriend. And they turned it on its head throughout this.
And I think Sandow elevated that part too. I really think the casting did quite well here with what could have been really schlocky material. Simply because there you feel an actual brother bond. And I really liked, I was surprised to find out that the mom wrote and directed the movie, because I really liked several of her turns. Like, the mom surprised me a couple of times with her reactions to stuff. And the same with Ron. I really didn't expect where his character kind of warms up to, and the weird, like, fine, I'll give a little, get a little respect. His middle fingers to the kids and stuff are so just like, man, I know the trap you're in. Like, you don't know what to do here. You don't get the joke, but you're pretty sure you're being laughed at.
Indeed. Although apparently all you need to do to win over people, make some really good chicken.
Yeah, a little paprika.
Yeah, hey, that's worked for me on a couple of occasions. Just like, yeah, you know, get some friends over, make some grilled chicken.
Yeah.
We're friends for life. But yeah, you know, it's one of those things, again, like the stuff with the family was, to me, more interesting than the actual romance. Not that the romance was unearned, but it's just so familiar. You know, we've seen this done so many times, done probably better. But for being such a soft, you know, just such a soft romance, such an easy film, I feel like it's enjoyable enough if you find it like on Netflix, or if you find it on, you know, you rent it at a local movie store if you still have one near you.
Oh, yeah. This is better than a lot of things that I watch that I feel like try to aim at this same target.
Yeah.
And I do feel like that this is better. I mean, I understand I have a lot of friends that have a really low tolerance for anything that feels structured, not to say manipulative, but they're pushing buttons on you to get this kind of crying involved reaction, that, you know, I like. I felt like this one did it pretty well.
I absolutely agree. And so yeah, I mean, unless there's any other major points you want to
I'm sorry, looking through my notes here. There's a point, the movie opens with Nat Wolf's character smoking a joint.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really glad that they didn't force in some extra 15 minutes of real thematic, you know. They touch on like, hey man, are you fucking up in college or what? But I'm glad they didn't really get into it. But later on, one of the first moments that the mom really surprised me is when she says, I'm so glad you're home. Do you have any pot? not in a like scolding, but just like, so home from college then. And then their conversation, it kind of reminded me of when they all get stoned in 9 to 5 and they use it as a plot device really well to, you know, give these characters a moment to drop one level deeper without a segue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then have this deeper conversation where she talks about reminding him of the dad and everything. Later on, the when Ron proposes and Mom laughs it off of like, oh, did y'all run into Ron? Cracked me up. I can't believe that funeral. Like, the shark kid cracked me up. He comes out of nowhere.
yeah, that little British kid who's just like, oh, yeah, I walk my dog and I draw pictures of sharks. And just like, who is this kid?
Oh, yeah. It felt a little long, the movie overall. As much as I enjoyed it, it felt a hair long. And I can't help but wonder if a couple of forced but necessary plot things, like there's a security footage Chekhov's gun.
Oh, yeah.
So that they have to introduce a character in order for there to be the burn later. So it forced in an extra scene in order to make a story structure thing work.
Yeah.
But then the ballet girl that lies, or rather the ballet girl that says that she slept with Jack, her entire subplot, I know it helped structure, like it helped set up the jealousy and I guess they really felt they needed to maybe put a little more weight on that, but I couldn't help but feel that her plot could have been cut and I still would have got it.
I actually agree. Like, I felt like that was just such an old tired trope of the snooty rich girl kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like, this feels like in a completely different movie. Like, this didn't even be.
And even though it did give Jack a really great scene early on where I went, okay, I like you a little better now.
Yeah.
When he just stares her down of like, no, 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 I'm walking across the room and we are ending this. It gave me a scene, but it was nice to see a win for him, but I didn't need a win for him right then.
Well, it was just contrived. It was a contrived way to make the third act stuff happen. And I'm just, I really didn't need that at all. But yeah, I mean, it could have been worse, but it could have been better. That's really how I feel about that. But yeah, then any other points or?
No, not really. I think, I enjoyed this, though it did make me weep openly while holding my dog, which made me swear at the TV, like, you know,
raise my hands. You're not going to take my dog from me.
You sons of, yeah.
So then, for our arbitrary review system, where, you know, just a whatever out of whatever somethings, what would you give it?
Let's see. I'd say I'd give it a 3 out of 5 old yellers.
Aww. Yeah, you guys should know what's going to come. I mean, even without spoilers, you know how the story's going there. So.
Yeah, I mean, like, it, you know, the movie's basically titled Stella Dies. Like,
it should be.
I don't.
Stella dies at the end.
I don't mean to mess this up for anybody, but the boys go home for the funeral and it's successful.
Yep. Yep, which is probably the only thing that's really successful in that part of the story. But
really is.
I really did enjoy this movie on the whole. I wasn't blown away at any really big points, but it did grow on me, kind of like you said. Like, you start to go like, well, Jack is just a bit of a slacker. Oliver is just kind of a douche. But they reveal layers to them that make you break down your own guard towards the character. You're like, okay, I kind of get where they're going. You know, I get family jokes. I get how they interact with each other. Even when you start to think, like, yeah, Alex just dominates his mom throughout the entire film. There's a part of you that realizes, no, she enables him too. And in a weird way that kind of keeps them bonded together throughout the story.
Yeah, this movie, for on the one hand, not just dropping my jaw, it really does kind of spin up to a higher level on a couple of occasions. And it's always because of the interplay between the family, really, the core family for me. And over the movie, when you kind of get this sense of like, why this dog is important, because they got this dog and then they lost their dad like right about that same time. And how isolating that made that, you know, this not quite family, more like friends bond. That was something that happened in the stoned scene for me with the mom and Jack, was her straight up telling him, you will do not tell your brother that you kissed that girl and you stay the hell away from her. And there's this like riding the line between my parent and just another adult I know. And I felt like this movie got that across. There were a couple of magical moments, I felt, that kind of took it above the base.
I totally agree. And just because we haven't talked much about the girlfriend, I'll just say, I thought Paulina Singer was good as the girlfriend. You know, she does exactly what she needs to in the story.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So with that all that said, I think I'd probably give it about the same rating you did. I'm going to give it 6 out of 10 really baked dogs. Yeah, because that scene also involves them blowing pot smoke into
that dog, right? And then he almost mentions it to Ron later, and the mom's like, no, don't tell Ron.
No, but yeah, I think it was enjoyable. I think you guys will enjoy it. Just hold your dog tightly, or you know what? Just if you have a dog, don't watch this movie. It is probably better. You know.
Yeah, there's some Marley and Me warning that ought to go. Yeah.